Good morning. Thank you for all the compliments with the suit. It's communion, so I dressed up for communion today. Glad to see so many of you here this morning. I wasn't sure what the attendance might be like with a holiday weekend, but I'm glad to see that you're here. We're here to worship the Lord, and we are here to receive communion, so it's a special day. As far as announcements, I'm only going to make one, and it's just an announcement as if you need to know my weakness. But I have to admit to you that by being at conference through the week, and then yesterday we went to Winchester to watch my nephew graduate from Shenandoah, I don't have anything prepared for tonight. So I'm going to cancel tonight's Bible study. We'll try to pick up the pace a little bit next week and make up for it. But no Bible study tonight because I'm just not prepared for it. Are there any other announcements, anything else that we need to share so that people know what's coming up, what's going on? All right, then I'm just going to get into the service. I am going to give you a little bit of a heads up. Things are going to be just a little bit different today. You know, I like to change things up every now and then. So bear with me. Hopefully none of it will be dishonoring to God, obviously, or none of it will be irreverent. Some of it might feel a little awkward to you. I'm going to push some boundaries a little bit, but it's all about the day and the specialness of the day. So let's prepare for worship. Good morning, Father. Thank you for bringing this group together, this fellowship, this group of believers, your body, your church. We come here this morning to praise you, to worship you. You have drawn us here to your table, and we look forward to receiving you at it. Father, I pray that all of our songs, all of our prayers, all of our listening and letting those words that we hear move to our heart, I just pray that everything that we do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory, because this is all about you. Thank you for being you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our call to worship this morning, I'll ask you to stand if you're able. I'm reading from Psalm 105. 105 tells us to give praise to the Lord and proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. So that first verse talks about proclaiming, and we're going to hear about proclaiming later in the sermon. So keep that in mind. Proclaim his name. What does that mean? Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. That's also proclaiming. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. How many of you are seeking the Lord? Wow. How many of you are seeking the Lord? Okay, all right. So it tells you to rejoice. So we're going to be rejoicing this morning. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. See, I told you it was going to be a little awkward. Let's just concentrate on the Lord and let's give him his praise this morning.
Good morning, everybody. So the first song we're doing is, it's an old song, copyright 1986, but it's new to us. But it's one that we thought really went with the focus today on communion and the seriousness of it and the holiness of being in God's presence and how we shouldn't take that for granted. It talks about how one example in the Old Testament of how people used to feel when they approached God before Christ's sacrifice, when Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord on his throne, and he said, "Woe to me." That was his reaction for seeing the Lord. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" So it was Christ sacrificed in advance, allowing him to be in God's presence. And similarly, the song talks about how the only the high priest, the most high priest, at only like once a year was allowed to be in the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence directly was in the Old Testament times. But through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, that has been opened for all of us. And so it's a song about appreciating the sacrifice to allow the intimate relationship with God that we have. Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am. So take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am. So take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead, yes. This is something I was going to change, but no, let's just do it. Go ahead and greet your neighbor now. Take some time. No, she was. right. Well, let's. Now's the time when we share our praises and our prayer requests. Let's share a few praises. What kind of praises do we have from this past week or this morning?
First of all, we have a praise that our granddaughter Caroline's visiting. Always comes with joy. Yeah. So we love that. And also, never to negate the smallest of acts of kindness. Our friend Debbie Shiflett gave our neighbor chrysalis of the swallowtail butterfly. And this lady has watched the journey from them hatching, yeah, calling in neighbors, calling friends, calling her family. She's just loved all the joy that it brought. So God shows us so many wonders in just the acts of small kindnesses. Right. So I want to praise that this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
First, thank you for everybody who helped Wednesday night with the table. And this weekend is to remember our military, our people who are active now, the ones who served, and the ones who gave everything. Bless them all.
Okay. Yep.
Just a praise band. I mean, I know I say it a lot, but amen, amen, amen.
And amen.
So yesterday, Harrisburg Arts Fest opened up with the Steel Pan Band from Middletown.
Oh.
And Aaron is one of the steel pan players.
Okay.
So it was very, very neat.
Yeah. Any other praises? Any prayer requests? I did have... Oh, yes, go ahead. Back there, back, right beside you.
Yes, I just want us to remember Bob Corr in our prayers.
Yep. Yeah, remember, I think I shared with you last time I was over... He's over at the Masonic Lodge. And I laugh because he made sure to tell me he's not a Mason. I don't know, you know, regardless, but he's at the Masonic Lodge, and he did tell me he'd love to have visitors. So if you ever feel like you'd like to share some of your joy with someone else, Bob would love to see you, love to visit with you. Any other prayer requests? We have one here. Try again. He's got you now.
Okay. Yep. Just a prayer and our love and well wishes to Linda Keller. She's moving on to a new facility Saturday in Lemoyne. So just let her know our blessings and prayers go with her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our neighbors, who are very lovely people, very helpful, very nice people, are originally from Tennessee. He has possibly a chance to go back, so we just need prayer that if that's the right decision, they'd like to really get back to their home state.
Okay. Any others? Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we, as always, first of all, thank you for giving us another day. It's a beautiful day, but every day we recognize is a gift from you. And so we thank you. We thank you for it being such a beautiful day that we can relax and enjoy. We just pray that all of us will take the opportunity to use it to rest and to recreate this day of rest that you give us so that we can be refreshed and start a new week energized and ready to go. We thank you for giving us the strength to get out of bed and to just get up and do things for you, to serve you. I pray that our hands and our feet will be used by you more, and that we can use all of these blessings that you give us in a way that helps our family, our church family, our community, and the world. We lift up these people that have been mentioned. We pray for Bob, and just pray that as he is in this stay, that he, we've been told that he's not doing so well right now, and so I pray that you would continue to make yourself known to him, and that that he would sense your presence, that he would know that you're right there with him, that you're taking him through this, walking through it with him, and that you would help the family to be comforted by your presence. We thank you that we have had the privilege to know Linda, to be with Linda, and have her be a part of this church family. Just because she's moving a little farther away doesn't mean we still can't find her and still visit with her, and that we can still love her, and we do. And we ask you to watch over her and guide her in her new facility, and that she will continue to feel your presence there. You're everywhere. And so even as she moves to get closer to family, it's a wonderful thing, and we just ask you to bless this action. Bless the move, bless her time there, and bless her family. Allow her to be a blessing to them and they to her. And we want to pray for these neighbors. You know whether the move to Tennessee is in your will, and is it a good thing for them, the best thing for them, the right thing for them. And so we just ask that you would make that known to them. And if the move is the right thing, we pray that you would just open up avenues, just make the path clear for them, help them to see that it's the right move, and that you would just help them in that physical move. We thank you for the way you watch out for us through materials. You bless us with so much, with our clothing, with food, with housing, just so many material things. We thank you especially for the income that we receive and allows us to pay for those things. But I pray, Lord, that we are returning a portion back to you first, that you're at the top of the list, and that we're not just giving you what's left. You deserve right off the top, because all of it's yours to begin with. And so, Father, I pray that the offering that we have given is a token of worship. I pray that it was given that way. I pray that you would receive it that way. And I pray that you would bless it and use it to further your kingdom here on earth through your church. In Jesus' name, amen. This weekend has been something that I've been especially looking forward to, been excited about, because I knew what was coming up. I know a lot of times we talk about several things coming together, and we talk about it being a perfect storm, and that's usually a negative thing, where this one bad thing, another bad thing, and a third or fourth come together, and we have a perfect storm. I look at this weekend, today, right now, as whatever the opposite would be, a perfect rainbow, perfect sun, perfect day. I don't know exactly how to describe what the opposite of a perfect storm would be. But I knew that I had already planned on this being a Sunday that we receive communion. It just sort of worked out that way on the calendar anyway. I usually go every 6 weeks. It's usually every 6 weeks that we receive communion. But it was also easy to schedule it because this week, the verses that we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians are all about communion. And I didn't really have to do any kind of stalling, and, you know, it wasn't difficult. It all came together. So those two elements came together. And then at a conference this week, I was excited because I had heard that the Faith and Doctrine Committee of our denomination was taking a look at the communion service that we have. We have a book as pastors, the Book of Occasional Services. It's a little black book that helps us go through different services, baptisms and weddings, and communion is one of those services in there. So the Faith and Doctrine Committee had looked at that and kind of revised it, just updated it, didn't change anything about the religion part of it, the liturgy part of it, the doctrine part of it, just a different way of doing it, different way of wording it. There's a lot of these and thous in that black book. They were going to let us all participate in that new service on Wednesday. We always start conference with chapel. We have worship service. Can you imagine? There's like 250 people in there singing, like, "How Great Thou Art." And then we uh, then we received communion together, and they used this new service. So I knew that was happening, and I was excited to find out what I might be able to use in today's service. And I am going to pick a few pieces out of there and probably establish it in future services, future communion services. So that was like the third thing. And then, of course, to have it happen on Memorial Day weekend, and as was mentioned, it's a weekend where we remember those men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can maintain our freedom. I recognize that. But on this weekend, too, we want to remember that one man who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that there could be freedom for the entire world, not just for this country. And so it seemed like all these pieces coming together, like this is just the perfect morning for communion. And especially after we go through this, and I'm hoping that it means even more to you, by the time we're done, by the time we're ready to actually receive these elements, I'm hoping that this message is going to make today's communion even more special for you, and one that you'll keep with you as you go forward. So before I start reading, let me pray, and then we'll jump into the verses this morning. Father, I ask for your guidance. I ask for you to just use me. Let your words come through my mouth. Use me as your mouthpiece, and let us all hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. Help us to understand better what was given to us, what was commanded of us regarding this institution, this sacrament of communion. Help us to understand it better, to appreciate it better, and to love you better through the receiving of it. And I pray it in your Son's name. Amen. So we've been talking about in 1 Corinthians, we're at the part where Paul is responding to some letters that came to him, responding to the fact that they were excited that they have their freedom in Christ, and they're making sure that he knows that. And yeah, that's good, he says, but be careful. Last week we know it was all about hair, long hair, short hair, no hair. And he said, you know, you got to be careful because you might be sending the wrong messages. It's talking about sort of a distraction to the worship service. But today he's going to go a little harder on them, where he's now talking about some things that they're doing, something that they're doing that's actually ruining their worship service. And I don't think ruining is too harsh of a word, because he starts right off in the first verse saying, in the following directives, in verse 17, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. Remember now before he said, I praise you for listening to me, for following my traditions, hearing my traditions. But now he said, I have no praise for you in the following directives. For your meetings do more harm than good. Can you imagine if you came in one Sunday morning and you gathered here and I walked up and you think I'm going to give you the announcements and I say, you know what, guys? You might as well just go home. Because when you get together, you do more harm than good. It doesn't pay for you to be here. I mean, if I just blast you with something like that, I don't know how many of you are going to come back the next week. Or if I'm going to be coming back next week. But that's what he's letting them know. Look, when you get together, you shouldn't get together because you're doing more harm than good. Well, what's going on here? Verse 18, he says, in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, and he's using that, he doesn't just say when you come together, but when you come together as a church, because that's supposed to be special. When you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. Now, we remember a few chapters back, we were hearing about some of the factions that were being created because one follows Paul, another follows Peter, another follows Christ. Well, I follow Christ. We had these different groups that were starting to follow each other, you know, follow a different person. And it's kind of creating the Greek word was schemata, where we get the word schisms. It's just creating some factions. We already know that some of those existed. But now we're going to find out that there's this big division, that's a big division being created between the rich and the poor. And that's not supposed to be. In church, we know Paul had said, you know, in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile. You're supposed to be forgetting about those kinds of divisions that are in the world, that the world creates, Jew or no Jew or Gentile, not male or female, because we know we were singing about the temple this morning. We know how the men could go one place, the women had to be at a different place. There were divisions there. No male or female, slave or free. Those were obviously divisions. Now today, we're going to talk about there shouldn't be a division between the rich and the poor. And we're going to find out that that's not the case. There is a division. It's really causing a problem. And then he gets a little sarcastic with them. No doubt, verse 19, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. Now, they all have God's approval. But there were probably some, as they were building these factions, who tried to convince everybody that, well, if you're in our group, you really have God's approval. So if you want to be with us, you'll get his approval. Now, those people, I'm not so sure. You know, they're not getting God's approval like we are. So I think he's being a little sarcastic here. But he goes on and says in verse 20, so then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. He's not being sarcastic anymore. He's being direct. If I told you when you came in that you might as well leave, if I added to that the idea, if I'm telling you why I want you to leave, because you do more harm than good, because when you come up here and you, or when you get these elements and you receive these elements, that's not communion you're taking. That's what he's saying here. He's telling them, yeah, you're getting together, you're having something that you call the Lord's Supper, but the way you're doing it, that you shouldn't even call it the Lord's Supper. That's not the Lord's Supper that you're eating. In verse 21, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. So what he's talking about is when they would get together and they would have something called an agape feast, a love feast, there was all this worship going on as well. Listen, they got together for a couple of hours. You guys are lucky. They get together for a couple of hours, and they would have their praying, their prophesying, their worshiping, but it all included a meal then. That people would bring their own food. It's like a potluck as part of the worship service. They'd bring their own food. And then they would have this part where they would also take the bread and the wine and so forth. They'd remember the Lord's Supper. And everybody was supposed to bring something if you could. And so you had the rich people who would bring plenty of food, and they would bring their bread, they would bring their wine. And chances are, what was happening was that they would come a little early. They're the rich ones, they don't have any work to do. They got the slaves to do their work for them. They got servants, they got people to take care of the household. So they can come a little early. So they come and they bring their food, they bring their wine, and they start going ahead and start partaking of it. They start eating, they start drinking. And then all those other people, the poorer people, the slaves, the people that were probably even in their own household taking care of the things that needed to get done, they had to take care of that first. They had jobs. They needed to get done before they could come to this love feast. Well, by the time they get there, those people who've already been there, they've eaten all the food. And they've drank all the wine, they're a little tipsy by now. And so when the poor people come, who look at this as the only good meal that they get during the week, the best meal, I should say. I mean, most of them were poor enough that they would really look forward to this meal on Sundays because they might get meat that they wouldn't normally get, or they might get some kind of better food. This is the best meal that they would get all week, and they're looking forward to it. And can you imagine if a couple walks in it's a male-dominated society. So if a man walks in with his family, he's got a wife and he's got three or four kids, and they walk in and they're looking forward to enjoying this meal, and they see that there's just a little bit of macaroni and cheese left, and the three bean salad has already been taken, and maybe, I don't know, there's only one ham sandwich, there's three ham sandwiches left. Well, of course, as parents, they're going to let the kids eat those ham sandwiches and try to split up the macaroni and cheese somehow. And they're going to go hungry. Meanwhile, those rich people that got there first, they are sitting there just patting their tummies because they just had a huge meal. They ate everything. And they enjoyed themselves with the wine as well. That's the problem. That's the division that's being created. Those ones that have kept what they have. instead of sharing it with the group. The ones that have not, they came and they still have not. Instead of finding a way to share with everyone. As a result, then, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. In verse 22, then he says, don't you have homes to eat and drink in? If you're that hungry that you feel like you got to have a whole meal, do it at home. Then bring your stuff along that you're going to share with everybody else. He says, or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? He's saying, not only are those people, that family, not only are they still hungry, they're a little embarrassed. They're humiliated because they're seeing these people who are sitting around just having a good, they're probably kind of chuckling, having a good time by now because they're a little tipsy as well, but they're good and full and they're just enjoying themselves and they're standing here with empty plates. That's pretty humiliating. And he's pointing out to these people that they're not thinking about those poor people here. What shall I say to you then, Paul says. He's talking to the Corinthian church. Because you're doing all this, what do you expect me to say to you? Should I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. No way, you're not getting any praise from me, he says. Not for doing this. This is not what the church is supposed to look like. He's basically saying something that's still true today. And this is very difficult for us. But really, if the church was the church, if the church was doing what we say we believe and the way the church is supposed to be operating, there shouldn't be any need in our midst, whether you're talking about a local church, talking about the church in general. There should be no person who is hungry while the rest of us are walking around patting our bellies. There should be nobody who can't pay their rent while the rest of us are, you fill in the blank, whatever that means, you know. The rest of us have subscriptions to this and that and have two cars and whatever. The church is about the body, not about a whole lot of individuals. So he goes on then to explain to them what the Lord's Supper is supposed to really be all about. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, and you recognize this language, it's something that I use all the time in the communion service. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Now he's referring to the fact that Jesus got his disciples together. They were going to do what they always did every year and have their Passover meal, where they get together and they remember what happened to the Israelites back in their history and the freedom that they received through the exile from Egypt. They think about that last night in Egypt when they remembered that the angel of death was going to go through Egypt and taketh the firstborn son of every family in the region. Unless you took blood from the Passover lamb and you put it on the doorpost and the lentil, and in which case when the angel of death came along, he would pass over that house, that household. And so all the Israelites were spared. They were able to leave Egypt at that point. And this is all remembered through this meal that they would have every year. And whenever they would do that, the head of the household would usually take the bread, and he would remind everybody by saying that this is the bread of affliction our ancestors ate when they came from Egypt. There was just something he would say. He'd break the bread and they would start sharing the meal. This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate when they came from Egypt. And so that's what the disciples are expecting when Jesus takes the bread, as it says. The Lord Jesus took the bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is, and they're expecting that same line, this is the bread of affliction, da da da. Instead, he says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He goes on, next verse, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." In the ancient Near East, every covenant was ratified, was sealed by blood. There was blood involved in making sure that that covenant was ratified between those two parties. A lot of times, in most of the cultures, they would include blood in a cup of wine that they would each drink then. I would drink his blood, he would drink my blood in the wine. Of course, God had told the Israelites not to drink blood, so they didn't partake of that part of the covenant. But they would find some way of making sure that blood was involved, though, in their covenant process. And here Jesus is saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. They know then that this is a lasting covenant, a binding covenant. And he says, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. When he talked about the bread, talking about the body, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do to remember. It's easy to talk about something. It's easy to think about something. When we talk about remembering something, you can just talk about it. You can read about it. You can remember in that way. But it's much more impactful when you do something. Since 1995, of course, lately I haven't had an opportunity to do much with it, but I was a reenactor for the War of Northern Aggression. Up here you call it the Civil War. I was putting on the uniform. I was carrying the sword. We had a cannon. I owned a cannon, believe it or not, a full-size cannon. And we would fire that cannon. We would go through the routine of how it was fired properly. And I recognized at night I would sleep on the ground. I was trying to do what those soldiers actually did. Now, there were some guys that were there who were just, honestly, they liked firing off black powder, or they were just trying to get away from their wives and their families for the weekend. They were the ones that were usually the guys we had to watch out for, because they're the rowdies with the guns just running around firing off these pistols. Anyhow, so they're doing the same thing I'm doing, but they're not doing it with the same kind of attitude. And this has a point. I'm getting somewhere. But I would do this to remember, right? And it would help me remember, because I'm doing it and I'm really trying to do it the way you should be doing it. When we take communion, when we receive communion, that's another thing I want to make sure we recognize as we go through this. We're not taking communion. We're receiving it because Christ is offering it. So I'm going to always catch myself and change that we're receiving communion. But when we receive communion, I can receive communion one way, and the person beside me can receive communion and maybe be just like those guys that they're dressed up the same way I am. We both look like we're doing the same thing, but what's in the heart, the way we're doing it? But he's asking us to do, he's telling us, he's commanding us to do this in remembrance of me. This weekend, we know, he said, it's Memorial Day weekend. There's going to be ways that we're going to be constantly reminded, but if we do something to remember, maybe we attend a parade, maybe we are in the parade. If we do something to remember, it helps us to remember better those men and women who have given their lives. When we receive that bread, when we put that bread in our mouth, or when we swallow that juice, we're doing something that helps us to remember where it came from, why we're doing it in the first place. And so in verse 26, he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we see an opportunity here to look back. We look back at what Jesus did, just like they were looking back at what God had done for the Israelites. We look back at what Jesus did for us to free us. We're looking back, but we're also looking forward. We're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We are looking forward to him coming again. We are assured of that. He is coming. And we have something to do right now. As we're receiving these elements, receiving communion, it's saying that we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We are announcing it. We are praising the fact that Jesus died for us, that he did die. He was on that cross. He died. He rose again and walked out of that tomb. That's what we're remembering, and that's what we're proclaiming. But as I said, there's certain ways that you can take this. That you can receive communion, take the elements. In verse 27, he says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Now notice it says an unworthy manner. It doesn't say if anyone takes this and is unworthy. Because if you couldn't receive communion, if you were unworthy, we might as well take those back over to the kitchen. None of us are worthy. We're all unworthy. And so that's one thing that we have to make sure. There are some people who, well, no, I can't take communion. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. And that's what's so wonderful about this. But he's talking about taking it in an unworthy manner. Verse 28, and we're going to get to what he means by this unworthy manner. Verse 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. But I want to get to verse 29, because he says, "For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." Those who eat and drink, those who receive these elements without discerning the body of Christ. Now, he's not talking about the physical body of Christ. He's not even talking about these elements that represent the body of Christ. He's talking about the body of Christ right out here in front of me. If you eat and drink without discerning, without being concerned, without wanting to know and to care about the rest of the body of Christ. Those rich people, as they were sitting there just eating their food, drinking their wine, and they didn't care that those poor people were caught walking in and couldn't participate because there's no food left, they were not discerning the body of Christ. And he says in verse 30, "That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep," which is a euphemism for dying. He's talking about the Lord bringing judgment on these people. If you remember Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 31, "But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." Sometimes those judgments keep us from losing completely the blessing that we have in salvation. So this is where it's going to get a little awkward. And this is where I was talking about changing things up just a little bit. We need to be discerning the body of Christ. You've all greeted each other, and you've said, "Hi, how you doing?" "Fine, good." "Yeah, okay." We all know that we say, "How are you?" We say, "Good." But we're not so good. What I want you to do, I'm going to invite you. I shouldn't say I want you to. I'm going to invite you at this point to get back up and to greet each other again. Maybe this can take as long as it needs to. And if you're not comfortable with getting up and going and approaching someone, then at least pray for Bob and these people that we talked about with the prayer requests, the neighbors, and excuse me. You can pray for my clumsiness. Bob and Linda. I'm sorry, Linda. Yeah, and Linda. But also amongst yourselves here, find out within your body, is there somebody who needs prayer? And I'm not asking anybody to just completely open their heart. You don't have to tell your details if you don't want to. But maybe something's bothering you. And just ask for somebody to pray. You know, I got some things that are really bothering me. Would you pray for strength, or would you pray for comfort? Whatever. You share whatever it is that you need. But I'm going to ask you to get up again, just like you did before when you were greeting each other. But spend a little more time with a person and find out what they need. Find out how you can pray for them. Find out maybe how you can help them. Even if you can't help them by yourself, it's something that we can share, and we can find out how we as a church can help them. So, okay, I'm done talking about it. Let's do it. Get up and greet each other and find out how you can pray or help one another at this point. And take as long as you need. So I think this worked out even better than I expected. So maybe like 2-3 more minutes. Don't rush. Don't rush. So I, yes. Oh, yes.
I had a late prayer request from Amanda, Jeff's wife.
Okay.
Her daughter Katie's in the hospital and Danville wants us to pray.
Okay. So. Okay. Katie is in the hospital. Help me out with that again. So it's.
It's Amanda's stepdaughter from her first marriage.
Okay. Amanda's stepdaughter is in the hospital. She's just recently been taken to the hospital.
I guess. In
Okay, yeah, so they would like prayer for Katie. And so, actually, yes, so keep that in mind, because I'm going to ask you to do some self-reflection, but when you do, we can all be praying for Katie as well. I just want to, and I apologize, because I said I wasn't going to interrupt you. You can take as long as you want. It worked even better than I had imagined. Help me out. I know I'm not going to ask personal, detailed questions, but just... How many of you found out something more about someone that you didn't know about before during those discussions? Wonderful. How many of you found out that there was somebody who could really, that really needed some prayer or needed some help during your discussion? Excellent. So see, that's what Paul was telling these people they should have known. We should be getting together. They would get together for a meal, and a meal was meant to be an intimate time. Is a time you sit and while you're eating, you talk with each other, you learn more about each other, and that's what communion's supposed to be about. It was never meant to be an individual thing. And I know many of us can remember, and we talk about, like I always talk about how I prefer the altar, kneeling at the, now, I'm a little older now, so kneeling isn't quite as easy as it used to be, or getting back up isn't. But I remember what that experience was for me, you know, and how I like that communion, that type of communion better for me. But it isn't about just me. Communion, it's a common union. It's this idea that we are one body. And so now you know a little bit more about each other. It sounds like you've had an opportunity to pray for each other a little bit. You are closer together now. This is a better body. Just it could be even better, but it's a better body right now than it was 10 minutes ago, and that's wonderful. Let me finish up here the verses, and then we'll work ourselves into actually receiving the elements. So finishing up, he just says in verse 33 then, "So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home," meaning if you feel like you got to have a meal, then eat it at home, so that when you bring your stuff to the potluck, to the love feast, you are willing to share it. You're ready to share it with other people. so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. He'll talk to them some more when he gets there. We're going to be taking communion, but one of the things, receiving communion, but one of the things that we need to do, one of the things we sort of skipped over, back in verse 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. So the final awkward thing that I'm going to ask you to do is to examine yourselves. Now, at this time, what I want you to do is think about, I talked about we're a good body, better than we were 10 minutes ago, but could it be better? As you examine yourself, was there someone that you didn't really want to go talk to? You tried, you had those that you felt comfortable going to, but maybe there's somebody. Examine yourself. Are there things going on at home or out in the community, neighbors that you're not real happy with and you try to avoid? Whatever the situation might be, examine yourself. And while you're doing that, though, take a few minutes, too, to pray for Katie. So just take a few minutes quiet to do that. One of the big concerns about communion that most people have is who should take it, who's allowed to take it. As we understand what it means and who Jesus has invited to share his body and his blood, we recognize that it wasn't necessarily intended for everyone. And we battle with that today with these amongst ourselves, amongst scholars and different religions and so forth. Recognize that this is a meal for believers, for those who have repented of their sins, who have recognized Jesus as God, and who have surrendered their lives to Christ as Lord and Savior. However, my conundrum is the fact that Wesley also has defined this as a means of grace. This is a way that God gets to some people. And so I would say that an unbeliever who might take this, not knowing what they're doing, not understanding completely what's going on, it might be better for them to take it than a believer who just takes it flippantly and without any kind of reverence. So I am not making any kind of restrictions on anybody. I'm going to let you decide. But I want you to keep that in mind. What we've talked about, what it means, what we've been invited to, who it's meant for. And I know that some maybe don't even understand it and don't recognize it. And I'm not talking about whether you're 3 or 33 or 83. There might be some who don't understand it and it's not. Maybe it's not for them. But again, that's up to you and the Lord, because maybe you don't even understand it, but you feel something nudging you that says, I ought to take this for some reason. Maybe that's how the Holy Spirit's getting to you and how God is going to find his first way of getting grace into you and into your heart. So, Christ the Lord invites to his table all who truly love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, who dwell in charity with their neighbors, and intend to live a holy life. Draw near with faith and receive this holy sacrament to your comfort as we make our humble confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, we confess and lament that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, and we are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. Because the remembrance of our sin is more than we can bear, we ask you to have mercy on us and forgive us. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, pardon us all. Pardon us of all that is past, and grant that we may ever serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We celebrate this memorial of our redemption, Father, receiving these gifts of bread and cup with thanksgiving for the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sanctify them by your word and Holy Spirit to be for us the body and blood of Christ. Sanctify us also that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament and partake of his most blessed body and blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one as your church, that Christ may dwell in us and we in him. And in the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under Christ and gather us together with all your saints in the joy of your heavenly kingdom, where we shall see our Lord face to face. And we ask this through your Son, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I'll call up the ushers to help to distribute the elements. As we just read, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Serve our brothers and sisters. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Take and eat. Likewise, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit from the vine. And when Jesus had given thanks, he poured the cup and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And sisters. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Take and drink. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us in these holy mysteries with spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us through this sacrament of your favor and goodness toward us. that we are true members of the mystical body of your Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom. And we humbly ask you, Heavenly Father, to assist us with your grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all the good works that you have prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. We'll conclude with our final hymn. And I'll ask you to stand if you're able. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.